Praise the Lord, this is Pastor Tony Alamo. We're reading through the Bible. We're in the book of Matthew, chapter 17, 27 verses, translation and commentary, and also this is last in the series of receiving the fullness of the stature of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's part 18. We have a couple of letters and an email, and right now let's go to the throne of the Lord to ask Him, Father God, to pour out Your anointing Spirit upon this message, upon this service, upon this tape. Open up spiritual eyes and ears so that they can see and hear the things, Lord, that are incorporated within immortal life, eternal life, permanent life, which is only available through Your Word, through Christ. Lord, we ask that You edify, You win through this message souls and edify the church in Jesus' name. And everyone says, Amen.
Amen.
All right, so where's the first letter from?
From Portsmouth, Virginia. It's a phone room response.
Okay.
A woman from Portsmouth, Virginia called the witnessing line and said that she was given one of your newsletters entitled Earthquake. She said she was a born-again Christian and found your literature extremely uplifting and very encouraging. She said that she repeatedly has been burdened in prayer for a closer walk with God and for a deeper understanding of His Word. She said she loves to read the Bible and pray, and after reading your literature, she was so edified that she had to call. She said your literature was an answer to her prayers, and she was ministered to abundantly by the depth of the teaching that the Lord has given you, and thanked God and prayed for the Lord to bless you. She asked for any and all other literature that you have written, and asked for more literature to distribute on a regular basis to lost souls in her city. She said that this was a move from God for her. From Pat in Portsmouth, Virginia.
Okay, Portsmouth, Virginia. All right, yeah, we were just down there in Virginia Beach in the general area. Pat Robertson's territory, and a friend of mine down there is John Jimenez. He has a rock church. Sue and I preached there, and we also long ago gave a witness on the 700 Club, and we also had been on the Jim Baker program. We went directly from the 700 Club over there, and we had standing room only, and the whole rock church of John Jimenez was packed out when we were there. Now, where's the next letter from or response?
It's an email from Uganda, Africa. Dear Pastor Tony, I read your literature, Dry Bones, and it was helpful to me and my friend. It changed our lives. We hope for spiritual maturity. God bless your ministry's growth here in the Wanzari region.
Well, praise the Lord. God bless you as well. Now, anything else?
Yes, then a letter from Zambia, Africa. Dear Pastor Alamo, greetings to you in the precious and impeccable name of our Lord Jesus Christ. I hope you are fine in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Back here, we are doing the best in our Savior. I thank you for the Bible and the literature that you sent me, including the Messiah. I am praising the Lord for your great work through worldwide, and may God continue to anoint you and extend the ministry. Here, things are going on smooth because of your great support that you did of sending us the literature and the Messiah. Indeed, we are thanking the Lord because now when we go witnessing, many are coming to Christ. They accept the Lord as their personal Savior. Please remember me all the time in prayers. I hope and trust to hear from you soon. May the Lord bless you greatly, as well as the whole ministry. Yours faithfully, Cephas from Zambia, Africa.
God be blessing you as well, and every other brother and sister in the Lord throughout the world, the entire world, the whole body of Christ. Father, bless them all. O Lord God, in Jesus' mighty name, amen. And you have anything else? All right, let's get on with the translation of chapter 17 of Matthew.
The Transfiguration, verse 1. 6 days later, Jesus took Peter and two brothers, James and John, and led them up a high mountain. Verse 2. As the men watched Jesus' appearance change so that his face shone like the sun, and his clothing became dazzlingly white. Verse 3. Suddenly, Moses and Elijah appeared and began talking with Jesus. Verse 4. Peter blurted out, quote, Lord, this is wonderful! If you want me to, I'll make 3 shrines, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah, unquote. Verse 5, but even as he said it, a bright cloud came over them, and a voice from the cloud said, quote, this is my beloved son, and I am fully pleased with him. Listen to him, unquote. Verse 6, the disciples were terrified and fell face down on the ground. Verse 7, Jesus came over and touched them, quote, get up, unquote, he said, quote, don't be afraid, unquote. Verse 8, and when they looked, they saw only Jesus with them. Verse 9, as they descended the mountain, Jesus commanded them, quote, don't tell anyone what you have seen until I, the Son of Man, have been raised from the dead, unquote. Verse 10, his disciples asked, quote, why do the teachers of religious law insist that Elijah must return before the Messiah comes, unquote. Verse 11, Jesus replied, quote, Elijah is indeed coming first to set everything in order. Verse 12, but I tell you, he has already come. But he wasn't recognized, and he was badly mistreated, and soon the Son of Man will also suffer at their hands.
He's talking about John the Baptist. John the Baptist was Elijah come back from heaven, because he never died. It's appointed unto man once to die, and after death, the judgment. It's appointed unto man once to die. So these false prophets that say Elijah's coming back to earth again are false. It's going to be Enoch and his wife, the two witnesses. And it's not going to be Moses. Moses already died. The only one that hasn't died yet was Enoch. So God took him, and he has to come back to earth. Every man is appointed unto all men that they must die once, and after this, the judgment. So Enoch, I believe, is on earth now because I believe the time of the coming of the Lord is at hand. All right, and then what?
Verse 13, then the disciples realized he had been speaking of John the Baptist.
See right there, it did say it's John the Baptist now. Elijah's already been here and gone now. So don't expect him anymore. And Moses is not going to come back either. If anyone would be coming back, in the book of Daniel, it says that you will stand with your lot in the last days. So it would be Daniel, very possibly, but Daniel died as well, so I don't believe it's him. And all for sure, Enoch. Okay, then what else?
Jesus heals a demon-possessed boy. Verse 14. When they arrived at the foot of the mountain, a huge crowd was waiting for them. A man came and knelt before Jesus and said, verse 15, quote, Lord, have mercy on my son, because he has seizures and suffers terribly. He often falls into the fire or into the water. Verse 16, so I brought him to your disciples, but they couldn't heal him, unquote. Verse 17, Jesus replied, quote, you stubborn, faithless people, how long must I be with you until you believe? How long must I put up with you? Bring the boy to me, unquote. Verse 18, then Jesus rebuked the demon in the boy, and it left him. From that moment, the boy was well.
This boy suffered from epilepsy. That's a demon possession. And the more of the word of God that enters into these people, the more they will be saved, because the word of God casts out the devil. Well, how you say, no, it's the Spirit of God. Well, remember, the word of God is spirit and life, and the more of the Spirit of God you have in you, it takes the devil out. It just casts him out. But you have to really fast and pray and believe. You have to have the faith. Like for instance, we have a young man in our church, one of the churches that's a pastor. And he had epilepsy, and this went on for years. And when the Lord started telling me to preach or to do the teaching and to do these programs, he hasn't had a seizure since, because each day the Spirit of the Lord keeps filling him up and there's no room for Satan to cast him down or to cause him to have these seizures and foam at the mouth and hurt himself very badly, as he used to do. He used to hit his head against the church pews and everything, and now he's totally overjoyed. He hasn't had a seizure in months. It used to happen quite frequently. Amen? Do you want to call that?
Yes.
All right, so keep going.
Verse 19. Afterward, the disciples asked Jesus privately, quote, why couldn't we cast out that demon, unquote. Verse 20, quote, you didn't have enough faith, unquote, Jesus told them.
And faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word. So they didn't have enough word in them. They didn't have enough faith, enough belief. Now, the Lord gives us all a portion of faith, but you have to have the knowledge to be able to know the things that the Lord has promised us in order to receive it. A lot of people have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, or a portion of the Lord Jesus Christ, which means they have a faith in a portion of the Word of God, but they don't have enough, and that's why the more you read the Word, the more faith you're going to have. And because you're going to, usually, if you're praying it with prayerfully reading the Word of God, then the Lord will give you the very thing that you need. He'll tell you to read the scriptures that you're going to need for that particular day. And if they would have done that, if they were reading the Word and if they were paying attention to the things that the Lord said, they didn't even believe that he was going to die after he kept telling them over and over again that he was going to die and raise from the dead. And they were scared to death because they didn't believe it. They didn't have the faith then. After they saw him raised from the dead, well, that the proof was in the pudding, then they believed, oh yes, this is the Son of God. This is God himself. He raised himself up. He says, I lay my life down and I raise it back up. Only God could do something like that. And then they believed and they were able to do great and mighty miracles. But this demon of epilepsy, when they saw this person foaming at the mouth and gnashing and his tongue hanging out and biting his tongue and his jaw, they just lost all kinds of faith when they see something like that. They say, oh God, we got to rush this one to the doctor. Well, we need to have the faith, amen?
Yes.
So why couldn't we cast him out? Well, because that demon scared you instead of you scaring the demon. When Jesus appeared on the scene with the people that were at these maniacs and these demon-possessed people, Legion, for instance, that was there living in a cemetery, that they started crying out, let us go into the pigs, because Jesus scared the devil out of them. Amen?
Amen?
The whole legion of devils, around 2,000 demons, were inhabiting that person. Because the Bible says it went into 2,000 swine, pigs, and they ran violently down the slope, amen,
amen.
And into the water and were choked to death. So the Lord had enough faith to walk on water and to raise from the dead and to cast out devils, amen. That's a simple task for somebody that's filled with faith, all right? Because when you have more faith than what Satan is projecting to you, like, for instance, if you're sick, your body feels sick. The sore, the wound you have, it feels that it's wounded. Your doctor says you're going to die. Your peers say you're going to die. Your family says you're going to die. But the Lord says you're healed. Now, if you believe that, you are healed. But if you doubt, you'll die. And so the disciples says, how come we couldn't do these things? And the Lord plainly told them, you don't have enough faith. And the Bible plainly tells us that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word. So keep hearing the Word and stop looking at the things in the world, because the things of the world are not going to give you any faith to heal anybody or to stay alive permanently, forevermore, eternally. So the things of the world are of no value. They have no eternal value whatsoever. So keep your eyes upon Jesus, which means keep your eyes on the Word of God, because the Word of God is Jesus. And if you believe the whole Word of God, not part of it, then you'll do these miracles. If you believe the whole Word of God, you're saved, and if you doubt any of it, you're damned. Thus saith the Lord. That's what the Bible says. So please believe what the Bible says, that your soul can be saved. All right, then what? So that you can help others like Jesus did here. Because the same spirit that was in him is in you, but you've got to have enough faith to believe it, to know it, and to let him work in and through you. All right, then what?
Quote, I assure you, even if you had faith as small as a mustard seed, you could say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it would move.
So he's saying that they don't even have the faith of a grain of mustard seed. Mustard seed is the smallest seed in the world. And it grows to the fullness of like a giant tree where the fowls... It actually is. Faith in the Lord is the kingdom of heaven. And if you have the kingdom of heaven, everything that God says heaven does, you will be able to do. Okay, whatever God did, whatever Jesus did, you can do as well. Because if faith can root up a mountain and cast it into the sea, you, if you have it, will be able to do the same thing. Okay, go ahead.
Nothing would be impossible.
Nothing would be impossible. Even to cure AIDS. That's right. Even to cure AIDS. The Lord didn't say, I'll heal all of your sickness, diseases, and infirmities, with the exception of AIDS. He said all sickness, diseases, infirmities. All of them. Cancer? Yes. Heart trouble? Yes. Every kind of trouble. All right, then what?
Verse 21. Howbeit, this kind goeth not out, but by prayer and fasting, unquote.
Yeah, so... Evidently, they were not fasting because John the Baptist's disciples came and asked Jesus, why don't your disciples fast like John the Baptist's disciples and the Pharisees fast? Jesus said, when the people of the bride chamber are with the groom, you know, they can't fast, but when the groom is taken away, then the people that are invited to the wedding party or the party of the people that are going to the wedding supper of the Lamb, then they'll fast. But how can you fast when the bridegroom is with you? So they needed to fast. All these things, after Jesus was taken up into the sky, after he was killed, they started fasting then and praying like never before. But that's when they were really doing mighty miracles. All right, then what?
Jesus again predicts his death. Verse 22.
Over and over again he predicted his death, but they didn't want to receive it. But it was he's telling he is the truth, and he told the truth. He did die, and he did raise from the dead, as he said he would on the third day. Then what?
One day after they had returned to Galilee, Jesus told them, quote, the Son of Man is going to be betrayed. Verse 23. He will be killed, but 3 days later he will be raised from the dead, unquote. And the disciples' hearts were filled with grief. Payment of the temple tax. Verse 24. On their arrival in Capernaum, the tax collectors for the temple tax came to Peter and asked, quote, doesn't your teacher pay the temple tax? Unquote. Verse 25. Quote, of course he does, unquote, Peter replied. Quote, then he went into the house to talk to Jesus about it. But before he had a chance to speak, Jesus asked him, quote, what do you think, Peter? Do kings tax their own people or the foreigners they have conquered? Unquote. Verse 26.
Yeah, do you tax your own people or do you tax people that you conquer? I tax people that I conquer. If I was to conquer, you know, somebody that was in the world, I wouldn't tax my own people, my own family, right? Would you?
No.
Okay, so then what?
Verse 26, quote, they tax the foreigners, unquote.
Yeah, somebody that's not part of your family, but part of your people. Then what?
Quote, well then, unquote, Jesus said, quote, the citizens are free, exclamation mark.
Mm-hmm. The Old Testament says that the government was not allowed to tax the people of God. But the people in this Antichrist government, they tax us more than anybody else. So that shows that we, the people of the kingdom of heaven, are foreigners to these people that are of the Antichrist. Because they tax us, and we pay our taxes. I mean, because the Lord tells us to. And so don't fight that. It's a commandment from the Lord to pay your taxes. Okay, then what?
Verse 27.
You might say, even though they're spending it on bombing people, look, I don't know what they do with their money. I mean, yes, they do things like that, but the Lord says to tax, pay it. Okay, then what? But he gives you the money to be able to do it. If you have faith, then what?
However, we don't want to offend them, so go down to the lake and throw in a line. Open the mouth of the first fish you catch, and you will find a coin. Take the coin and pay the tax for both of us, unquote.
All right, that was it. Okay, now we have the commentary.
Chapter 17, verses 1 through 8. Even before Jesus' transfiguration, Jesus was the glorious Son of God. But Peter, James, and John had never seen Jesus in that way. After their experience on the Mount of Transfiguration, these disciples would never again consider Jesus as anything less than God's Son without being in full-scale denial. Through the words of Matthew and the testimony of other believers, you too are witnesses of God's glory in Jesus Christ. I can testify to that. To deny his authority over your life is to assure destruction of any person and no growth in the fullness of the stature of Christ.
Yeah, what you're doing is denying that the Lord bought you from the condemnation of the law. And when you deny that, you fall under the condemnation of the law, and there remains no more forgiveness, no more sacrifice for you. Then what?
Jesus is the only one who can transform your broken life. Chapter 17, verses 14 through 21. This account of the disciples' failure to cast out a demon should teach you a critical lesson about the role of faith in growth, power, that could be yours if you had the faith. Jesus criticized the disciples for their lack of faith in God's word, his power, his spirit to heal the boy. We don't need a large amount of faith to begin the healing process in our faith life.
All you got to do is just believe the word of God. The Lord said to go and heal the person. And so you say, well, I don't know if it'll really happen if I pray for the person. Yeah, I don't know if it'll happen if I really lay hands on them. And then I'll be embarrassed. In other words, you're saying that your pride doesn't want you to launch out into the deep, to launch out in faith and pray for somebody in faith believing, and to reach the throne of God instead of going halfway up to the ceiling of wherever you live, but to actually reach the throne of God and say, Lord, you said this person is healed. And whenever I pray for people, I ask the Lord, okay, Lord, I'm going to pray for this person. They're going to be healed, right? And the Lord, on maybe three or four occasions that I can remember, said, no, I'm not going to heal the person. Don't even pray for them. I'm going to take their lives. And I kept praying because I thought maybe it's not the Lord. But there was like a strip of barbed wire just looped around my heart, and it was like pulling it. Each time he said this word, don't you want him to go to heaven? It felt like my heart was being ripped and torn by barbed wire. And I said, yes, Lord. And then he said, stop praying for him to live. And within 5 minutes later, he was in a hospital out in Victorville, California. And I was on the phone with him. They said, Brian just died. So the Lord said, don't you want him to go to heaven? I said, yes. So I knew that Brian was in heaven, and so I started rejoicing, because that's where I wanted to be, and that's where I still want to be. And this world here is dark and dreary, and everything in it is made out of dirt, and everything here is dull. I've seen heaven on several different occasions. I saw the Lord Jesus Christ who appeared in front of my eyes while I was wide awake. And then I saw Susie and myself in the kingdom of heaven as we would look when we're there. And I do not want to be in this world. I mean, it is so much better there. It's just, there's no words that can explain it. No eyes have ever seen anything like that before. No ears have ever heard of, because no one can explain how beautiful it is. It hasn't even entered into the heart of man how gorgeous it is. I was only allowed to see just a few seconds of what Sue and I would look like, and I saw the Lord, and the Lord stayed before my eyes. He was talking, but I couldn't hear everything he was saying. It was like broken up as a radio broadcast that was when somebody was turning it off, on, off and on. He was telling me, you're not really getting the word. You're not receiving the word. You're not studying the word enough. You're into building things and doing all sorts of things like that. Study my word. That's the most important thing, is for you to have faith, to start hearing me. I am the word. And it took me time to figure that out. Finally, when I did, then the Lord started really blessing me when I started reading the word, studying the word, and then teaching the word as I'm doing today. And I'm getting really good responses from people. It's very encouraging for me to hear from people out in Radio Land and all over the world where we're distributing literature, to see how many souls are being saved from the literature that the Lord gives me. And now we're getting good, very good responses from these radio broadcasts. Okay, and then what else do you have there?
We don't need a large amount of faith to begin the healing process in our faith life or to heal others. We need faith as small as a mustard seed to make an effectual change in yourself and in others.
That's all. Small as a grain of mustard seed, isn't it?
Prayer and faith in God are the tools, and to read God's word, to receive the faith in it for growth to the fullness of the stature of Christ. With these, you will be able to move mountains.
All right, praise the Lord. And now we've got part 18 of Receiving the Fullness of the Stature of Christ.
When the life of a Christian reaches this stage, every part of his being comes to maturity. He is waiting to be raptured to enter into glory with Christ. The Bible uses the reaping of the harvest to illustrate the rapture, or the taking of the church up into the kingdom of heaven. That's with all the saints. When the harvest is ripe, it is ready to be reaped.
That happens immediately after the tribulation. Folks, you're not going to be raptured out of the tribulations unless you die before the end of the tribulation. Like my wife, Susie, died just in 1982. All right, then what else?
Therefore, we must not view the matter of the Lord taking us up into heaven merely as prophecy, because being taken up into heaven is a matter of permanent life, God's life. As the permanent life of the church, or the permanent life of the saints, grows and matures continuously in Christ, at a certain stage it becomes fully ripened, and in the sight of the Lord is ready to be reaped from the field of the world into the barn of heaven. This occurs at the time of the Lord's return, immediately after the tribulation. The time of the taking up of the church, Revelation 14, when we are taken up, we will be brought by the Lord into his glory to enjoy the glory with him. Thus, the purpose of God's salvation is fulfilled. Therefore, when the permanent life experience of a Christian attains to the full stature of life, which is Christ, it has reached its climax. He shares the same position with Christ, and he reigns and deals with the enemy together with Christ. His whole being is filled with the element of Christ, the life. Aside from the fact that the body has not yet been transfigured into the body of glory, all else has reached its highest or final point. The life experience of a saint in Christ thus comes to a conclusion. Other than waiting to be raptured or taken up with the Lord and entering into the kingdom of heaven or glory, there is nothing else left to be desired.
No, so the Bible tells us to continue on in the faith, and to continue on till he comes. He tells us to occupy in this world, to continue winning souls and bringing about the kingdom of heaven until he comes.